We're turning to the book of Esther in the Word of God in the Old Testament. It's where we're turning. And I've just had such a good time today and each day that I've been here. And Brother Adam, thank you for what you're doing. And Brother Harold leading the singing. Choir doing an outstanding job. These ladies singing beautiful. Tomorrow night is 6 o'clock. Tomorrow night is 6 o'clock in the first few rows here. We're going to have a class on money management according to the Bible. Biblical money management. It'll be about a 35-minute class. It'll go from 6, and we'll start right on time. You're allowed to be a few moments early if you wish. We're going to try to start right on time and use our 35 minutes effectively. And then at 6:40, the choir. And then at 7 o'clock, the service. And praise the Lord. Well, before I mention even the CDs, let's find out, did anybody give some gospel tracts to anyone? Would you please raise your hand if you've given out a gospel tract since last night? I know Noah did. Boy, he is chasing people around giving them out. And you were able to give. Good, good. And you were good, good. So we got two on this side. Anyone else? Oh, three on this side. Okay. They're a little slow on getting hands up tonight. All right, so three on this side. And on this side, let me look from the back to the front. I know these children. I mean, Noah was chasing people around at Cracker Barrel last night. And no one could turn Noah down. How could you turn him down? He's too precious. He's crawling underneath the seats or something at the moment, but he's precious. He is precious. He's precious. I asked him tonight if he had good sisters, and he said he did. And the three of them love each other, and that's just precious. Now, after the service tonight, I need help giving gospel tracts to everyone. Now, let's get more people to give them out between now and tomorrow night. How many of you are going to try to give somebody a gospel tract between now and tomorrow night? Raise your hand if you're going to try. Raise them high. I want to see. Okay. Now, let's see if we have at least somewhere close to that tomorrow night that says, I gave one out. So you may have to go find someone immediately after this service. You know what I'm saying? So you don't forget. How many of you all have trouble remembering? Yes. I think so. Yeah. In the back are some CDs, and Brother Adam is helping me there. And you ladies, I think, in particular, would love this one. I will sing your praises. Oh, it's just beautiful, our ladies group singing, and 11 nice songs, including The Value of One, and different songs on here, Turn the Tide, Stand for the Right, Since I Met Jesus. And then there's a number of children's CDs, but in particular, I want you to get some of these Bible stories for kids and give them to children. They're any size donation. If you go to our website, they're $15, but tonight, just give something to help Bible Truth Music continue. For 31 years, we've been trying to stand in the gap with good Christian music. And I wish you would help us to get good music out. Now, Esther chapter 1. I read this morning. It's in my Bible reading. I told the pastor I was trying to get my courage up to preach from it. So we'll see how this goes. Y'all pray for me. There's really, really, really something to be learned from this chapter. There's one gigantic thing that we want to learn tonight from the Word of God in this chapter. Esther chapter 1, verse 1. Now, boys and girls, listen. Now it came to pass in the days of Ahasuerus. This is Ahasuerus, which reigned from India even unto Ethiopia over 127 provinces. All right, now, help me. How many provinces? 127. So how many provinces, somebody? 127. He's got 127 provinces. He's a big king. He's got a big kingdom, 127 provinces. Verse 2. That in those days, when the king Ahasuerus sat on the throne of his kingdom, which was in Shushan, the palace, in the third year of his reign, he made a feast unto all his princes and his servants, the power of Persia and Media. The nobles and princes of the provinces being before him. When he showed the riches, the riches of his glorious kingdom and the honor of his excellent majesty many days. Okay, how many days? Well, it says here, even 104 score days. All right. How many days is 104 score? Yeah. Careful. 180. You know, a score is 20. So it's 180 days. 180 days. This party, this feast has been going on 180 days. How many months is that basically? 6 months. About a half of a year this party's been going on. What a king. What a kingdom. Well, it goes on down, verse 7. And they gave them drink in vessels of gold, the vessels being diverse one from another. Verse 8, and drinking was according to the law, none did compel. Verse 9, also Vashti, the queen, she's the queen, so Ahasuerus, the king. And verse 9, Vashti, the queen, made a feast for the women. Okay, so she's got a feast for the women. Vashti, the queen, made a feast for the women in the royal house, which belonged to King Ahasuerus, on the seventh day when the heart of the king was merry with wine. Merry with wine. He's getting drunk here. He's inebriated. He commanded, and you look at the list of these names. I'm not going to try them, okay? But at the end of it, it says the seven chamberlains. These are the names of the seven chamberlains that served in the presence of Ahasuerus the king. He says, seven chamberlains, here's what I want you to do. Verse 11, bring Vashti. You seven chamberlains, bring Vashti, the queen, before the king with the royal crown to show the people and the provinces her beauty, for she was fair to look on. Now, our lesson tonight comes from the next verse. Our message comes from the next verse. When I pause, I want you to say out loud the word after I pause. The word after I pause is what I want you to say. Verse 12, but the queen Vashti, she refused. King says, you seven chamberlains, go get Vashti. Bring her out here. Vashti said, no. I titled tonight's message, The Little Word That Changed the World. The little word that changed the world. In this passage here, we've got a queen named Vashti. She's the Persian queen. She's the wife of Ahasuerus. Now, Ahasuerus is also the same fellow named Xerxes. X-E-R-X-E-S. Pronounced Xerxes. Ahasuerus and Xerxes, the same person. And this king Ahasuerus, he reigns from India all the way to Ethiopia. He's got these 127 provinces. He's one of the richest kings, one of the richest monarchs that ever lived. He's got this feast going for 180 days, and then he gets drunk, and he commands Vashti, one of the most beautiful women in the world, to come. And I believe it's very likely that she was going to be coerced to do something indecent. And Vashti, at that request, says, no, I refuse, I will not compromise, I will not degrade myself, I will not. Every lady in this room has got to have a little of Vashti in them to say it, I am not going to degrade myself. I am going to keep myself unspotted from the world. And all the men in this room, we want ladies to act like ladies. Amen to that. And Vashti, she says, I am not going to do that. Now, every lady needs to be a Christian lady. And every lady, as a Christian lady, ought to conduct themselves in a proper way. Now, the Bible condemns lasciviousness. The Bible condemns lasciviousness. Let me read you some verses for you. Mark chapter 7 and verse 22. Deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness, all these evil things come from within and defile the man. Galatians 5:19. Now, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. 1 Peter 2:11. Abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul. Vashti used a little word that changed the world. Vashti said no. Now, wait a minute, Vashti. Hey, Vashti, wait a minute. Come to your senses, ma'am. Ma'am, Vashti, you might lose your throne. She did. She no longer was queen. Boys and girls, she's no longer queen. When she said, no, I'm not going to degrade myself. No, I'm not going to do something indecent. No, I'm not going to do that. She did lose her throne. It cost her. Vashti, if you do that, you may lose your riches. Well, she probably did. Vashti, if you do that, you may lose your life. Well, she didn't lose her life. But in spite of all those costs, Vashti had the fortitude to say no. And ladies and gentlemen, when this lady, I was thinking about this, when this lady Vashti said, no, King, no, she actually changed the world. It actually changed the rest of history. Because when she said no, it was used of God to ultimately save the Jews. Because another lady comes along and becomes a queen named Esther. And God uses Esther to come to the aid of all the Jews. There have been so many people who wanted to extinguish the Jews. But because of Vashti saying, King Ahasuerus, I will not. The little word that changed the world is the word no. No. No, I will not do that. Let me give a personal word of testimony. And we're going to find some other people in the scriptures who said no. I'm 55 years old. When I was 16 years old, I became a senior in high school. I got in school a little early, got out early. And I'm a senior as a 16-year-old. And this is astonishing. I'm astonished at this. I was a senior. I was 16 years old, and the school hired me. The school hired me to be a bus driver. Are you kidding me? I can't believe that was legal. Virginia, there's a lot of good things about it, but man, I don't know if Virginia was having much sense back in those days. You sit down back there. Want me to come back there? I'm 16 years old driving the bus. You got to be kidding me. And I don't know what I made, a dollar a day. I didn't make much. It paid us once a month, so when you got the paycheck, it looked pretty good. It took a month before you got another one. And so I was a senior. And when I was a senior, there was a man trying to become the nominee of his party to run for president. I'm 16 years old. I'm in high school. I'm a senior. There's a man in America trying to become the nominee of his political party to run for president. And somehow, I was able to go, I was invited to be at his rally there in Virginia. He had come from California. The governor of California had come to Virginia. And a bunch of us sang there at the rally, and there's a bunch of high schools. There were four high schools together that day. And Governor Ronald Reagan gave a speech to all of us kids. And I really don't remember much about the speech, except one thing. Ronald Reagan, the governor of Virginia, said, young people, Young people, if you're going to keep your virtue, you must learn how to say no. I've remembered that my whole life. I'm glad there's a governor from California who later became president who told the students that day, young people, if you're going to keep your virtue, you must learn how to say no. I'm glad there's a lady in history who had some fortitude to say no. I like to be positive. I like to be upbeat. I like all that. But sometimes you just have to out and out say, no, I'm not going to participate in that. No, I'm not going to go there. No, I'm not going to watch that on TV. No, I'm not going to watch that on the internet. No, I'm not going to listen to that kind of music. No, I'm not going to use that kind of language. No, I'm not. Sometimes the word no is the exact right word. Amen. And y'all with me? Listen, men have to learn how to say no. No, we're not going to have that in this house. No, we're not going to have that kind of behavior, children. No, we're not going to do that. Sometimes the exact right word is no. If you'd, I'll just read it to you. Let me read it to you. Here's another man who said no. A man named Daniel. The Bible says this, Daniel chapter 1 and verse 8. Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor the wine which he drank. Daniel was a young man. He had been captured. He had been kidnapped. He had been ripped away from his home. But he's a young man who's got some purpose in his life. And he chose to serve God early in his life. Now, the best time to start serving God is when you're young. That's the best time to get started. Like these three young ladies. They were serving God tonight. What was it? 11, 12, and 9 years old. That's the best time to start serving God is when you're young. Amen to that. Daniel's a young man, and as a young man, he chose that he was going to serve God. Nebuchadnezzar takes old Daniel and all these boys captive, and he orders the young men that they're going to be taught the Babylonian language, and they're going to become servants, and they're going to get the finest food, and they're going to have soft living, and they're going to have some alcoholic wine. And Daniel said, no, that's not for me. Let me read the verse again. Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor the wine which he drunk. Listen, Daniel had the fortitude to say no. He had the character. He had the virtue to say no. He preferred the simple foods without the wine. Many young people, they choose to, this is the verbiage when I was young, they choose to live it up. Yeah. Live it up in the world. Later on, they're so sorry for the habits that they've acquired as they were young. Oh, Daniel, he was far from home. Nobody was going to know. None of your family will know, Daniel. Well, God would know, and Daniel would know. Maybe Daniel could have gained some favor with some people by doing the wrong thing. If he got drunk, he may have become more popular with some people, but he determined he was not just going to conform to this world. Amen to that. And he refused to participate. He said no. Later on in his life, it came around again. All the temptations are not when you're 11, 12, and 9 years old. No. Sometimes the temptation is when you're 55. Sometimes when you're 65. When you're 75. Temptation comes and comes and comes and comes. It just continually comes. As an older man, Daniel was tested again. Daniel, we passed a law. You can't pray like you've been doing. No, you can't do that anymore. No. Daniel, are you going to stop praying like you've been doing? No, I'm not going to stop praying. If you don't stop praying, we're going to put you in there with those hungry lions. Now, let me ask y'all a question. How do y'all want to die? On the top of the list, is eaten by lions on the list? That's not on my list. How you want to die, Brother Fox? Would you like to choke to death? Well, no. Would you like to burn up? No. Eaten by lions? No. How you want to go, Brother Fox? As easy as possible. Amen. Yeah. But eaten by lions, that's not even on the list at all. Sometimes the temptations come when you're older. Daniel had made up his mind. Daniel had learned how to say no. No, I'm not going to stop praying. No. No, I'm not going to do that. A friend of mine was asked to come down and pray. He was asked to come pray in North Carolina for the legislators. Yeah. And they brought him in. He's going to pray Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday at the opening session of Congress in North Carolina. And my preacher friend, he was called in. And so they brought him in and said, "Now, Pastor, we're so glad you're here to pray for us. Would you mind writing out your prayer for us?" Well, he sort of reluctantly did that, because that's not what Baptist preachers generally do. But he wrote out his prayer. And so the person in charge said, "Let's look at this prayer." Oh, Pastor, this is a good prayer. Oh, it's good. "Pastor, we have one thing we need you to change. It would help things. It would really help us, because we've got a very diverse group. If you would just not say this last little part in Jesus' name, if you just say amen, that'd be a lot better." "Okay, Pastor." "No." He said, "No. No, I'm not going to do that." He said, "I'd die before I wouldn't say that." Well, they let him pray. And he prayed in Jesus' name. A little war broke out in Congress in North Carolina. And they said, "We no longer need that gentleman to pray anymore at our Congress." Well, a couple years went by, and a bunch of folks got unelected, and some new people got elected. And it's time to start our Congress again. And a bunch of them said, "Where's that fellow who said he'd die before he wouldn't say Jesus' name? We want him to come back and pray." Amen to that. I'm glad he had the courage to say, "No, I'm not going to leave Jesus out. If you're having me here to pray, I'm going to pray in Jesus' name. I'm going to be true to my Lord. I've got to say no to that request. No, I'm going to have to mention Jesus by name when I pray." Listen, we got to say no to some things. Saying no to alcoholic beverage is the right thing. Saying no to drugs is a good thing. Saying no to bad language is a good thing. Saying no to having wicked things inside of my house. No, no, no. Paul said it this way: "Make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof." Well, a man named Joseph, the third fellow in the message tonight, a fellow named Joseph, Genesis chapter 39, he's been sold into slavery. If you're listening, say amen. Amen. Y'all with me? Okay. Joseph, it's Genesis 39. Early on, he's been sold into slavery by his brothers. They were so envious. Envy is one of the biggest sins in America. And envy straight out of hell. It's a terrible sin. And Joseph's brothers were envious of him. So they sell him into slavery. And he's over here as a slave. And he's working for a fellow named Potiphar. And Mrs. Potiphar. So Joseph, he's a slave. He's a servant. He's strong. Boys and girls, young people. Joseph, he's strong. He's handsome. And Mrs. Potiphar was attractive. Mrs. Potiphar tempts him to do something immoral. What are you going to do, Joseph? I mean, you are her servant. Joseph said, "No, I'm not going to do that." And Joseph actually ran. He got out of there. "No, I'm not doing that." And he ran away from the temptation. He got out of there. Sometimes you just need to run. Flee youthful lust, the Bible says. Joseph, he could have had Mrs. Potiphar's favor. He could have had her riches, but he said no. Now, when he said no, did it cost him? Oh, yeah. Mrs. Potiphar lied. She lied. Do you know that it's wicked? It's wicked to falsely accuse people. It's wicked. And Mrs. Potiphar wickedly, falsely accused Joseph. So what happened to Joseph? He went to prison. How long? 13 years. 13 years? Yes. Hey, Joseph, what are you doing here in prison? Joseph, what did you do wrong? Joseph says, well, actually, I didn't do anything wrong. Actually, I did something right. You know, sometimes life can seem pretty confusing. You do what's right, and you're still penalized by the world. But God's pleased when we do what's right. Wait a minute. Joseph's down there in prison. He's forgotten by everybody. No, he's not. God knows exactly where Joseph is. God knew that Joseph was right down there in prison. And see, God's got a will for everybody. And oh, ye meant it for evil, God meant it for good. Later on, Joseph, well, he basically becomes vice pharaoh, secretary of agriculture. I don't know the exact title, but boy, he's powerful. And you just got to read it. You got to read it for yourself. But it all comes about when Joseph says, no, Miss Potiphar, I am not going to do that. Well, think about Moses. Let me read you some verses about Moses. By faith Moses, this is Hebrews 11, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, here's the word, refused. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughters, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Moses, he's a young man. But he says, no, I'm not going to participate in the sin of this country, Egypt. I'm not going to do that. Instead, he chose the joy of following God. What about Jesus? Oh, yeah. In Matthew chapter 4, you find the devil. The devil himself is tempting Jesus. The devil tempts him three times. The devil tempted Jesus when he was hungry. He tempted Jesus when Jesus was tired. He tempted Jesus when Jesus was thirsty. But each time Jesus said no and quoted scripture back to the devil. See, Jesus quoted the scripture to the devil. And Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit. And Jesus was in the will of God. Amen. Long ago, there was a man. His first name was William. And William was a fairly unusual man in some ways. William was a vegetarian. Not everybody's vegetarian, but William was. That's the way he chose, for whatever reason, he chose to be a vegetarian. He just ate the vegetables, didn't eat the meat. Had a beard. Ooh, he grew a beard. He got married. He married this lady named Catherine. William got saved. William got a burden for everybody. He wanted to see everybody in the whole world get saved. He just wanted to tell everybody about Jesus. He was in the Methodist denomination. He was, in fact, in the Reformed Methodist denomination. Fairly regal group. Oh, yeah. Regal, sophisticated group. William couldn't read. He was basically illiterate. He wasn't refined. He wasn't sophisticated. He answered the call to be a preacher. Where are you going to preach, William? You know where William started preaching? He'd go down to the slums. William would go down to the slums of London. He'd go down there to the depraved, to the outcast, to the homeless, to the destitute, and he'd preach about Jesus. Well, folks down there in the slum started getting saved. And William, well, he was a fairly creative fellow, and he was just trying to win everybody Christ. He started organizing them into choirs and bands. They called themselves the Hallelujah Band. Oh, they'd get sticks and clap them together, and they'd sing. They'd get them a pot and bang on it, and they'd sing. Singing about Jesus. Well, not everybody's happy about it. In fact, there's some very refined men and some very sophisticated ladies in the church where William was a member. I mean, William started bringing these folks to church, inside the church house, and some of them stunk, and some of them were missing teeth, and were unorthodox, yeah. And finally, it all came to a head. They brought William before the whole church. They set up this meeting where the leaders of the Reformed Methodist Church, they brought him up on the platform, and they're questioning him about his methods and what he's doing, and the building was packed out. I mean, everywhere you could look, there's people he had led to Christ, and there's other church folks, there's just everywhere. And his wife, William's wife, Catherine, was way up there in the balcony. And the leaders, they had him on the platform, and they said, William Booth, we have licensed you to be a messenger of the gospel. And you've been taking your message down there to the slums, and you've been bringing those folks inside this building. Now, William Booth, we've been trying to help you. We've been trying to teach you how to be a minister. Now, William Booth, listen to us. Will you only start going to preach where we tell you to go? Or are you going to keep doing your own ministry? Are you going to keep our license? Because if you don't do what we tell you to do, we're going to take your credentials away from you. Will you stop going to the slums and preaching? It all came to a head. Will you stop? Before William Booth could answer, Catherine got up in the balcony, and she got a handkerchief out, and she started waving back and forth. William, tell them no. Tell them no. You just keep going everywhere with the gospel. William, tell them no. William that day said, no, you're not going to tell me where I can and cannot go with the gospel. I believe William Booth was a godly man. He was always interested in others. I'm not for everything the Salvation Army does today. That's the group he started, you know. But the founder, William Booth, loved God. He loved souls, and he had enough character that when they was trying to tell him to quit telling everybody about Jesus, he just said, no, I can't do that. I got to tell everybody about my Lord. Vashti changed the world. My dad got right with the Lord. I was about 14 years old, and I remember one of my cousins coming over to the house, and he brought some records, not cassette tapes, not 8-tracks, these little vinyl things. And Kenneth brought some music over, and he wanted me to have them. And my dad had gotten so serious about serving God. My dad said, well, I need to listen to that music first. So he put one of them records on. And I can remember my dad sitting on the couch and listening. I remember my dad saying to my cousin, said, Kenneth, I'm sorry, but we've just got to say no. We just can't have that kind of music in our house anymore. You know, sometimes even some relatives won't understand when we say no to certain things. Sometimes we'll be condemned for it. I could tell you stories. You could tell me stories. But you know, when it's the right thing to say no, you won't regret it when you just go ahead and say, no, I can't participate in that. Let me tell you one more personal testimony. I told you I was 16 years old driving that bus. There's a girl on that bus. Her name was Renee. Woo! I got looking at her, got just watching her. She was popular in the school. Ooh, Renee was popular. She could sing. She could do puppets. She was funny. She was popular. I was unpopular. She was popular. Her dad was a preacher. Renee loved God. I played on the basketball team. I told everybody on the basketball team, I said, you're not allowed to ask her out. In fact, if you do, I will beat you up. It's not the most spiritual thing I've ever done. I told every boy in the school, if you ask her out, I'll beat you up. I'm confessing that, okay? I wasn't popular. There came a weekend that several of the senior class decided they'd go to a dirty movie. They didn't ask me because I was unpopular. Renee was popular. They said, come and go to this with us. Renee said, no, I can't go to that. I'm a Christian. I can't do that. No, they mocked her. They made fun of her. Boy, I learned about it. Ooh, my estimation of Renee went way, way up. I said, that's the girl. Oh, Lord, that's the girl I want. Someone who has the courage to say, no, I'm not going to go to that dirty movie. I mean, that's when I really got interested. Hey, she got a husband out of it. 35 years, man. We've been married 35 years. What really, really got my attention is when she had the courage to say no. Would you bow your head?